Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Abroad Pod, your go-to podcast for all things abroad. I'm your host, Nicole, and today's episode is going to be another abroad series. The Abroad series is a series I started last season where I bring on different guests to showcase abroad programs and experiences around the world. I'm so excited for this week's episode because today I'm sitting down with Lexi Alford, the Guinness World Record holder for being the youngest person in the world to visit every single country. As you guys know, I'm the social director for Serengeti, an e-commerce travel brand, and we were thrilled to partner with Lexi back in December during one of our Gift with Purchase promotions. Since that collaboration, Lexi and I have stayed in touch, and I'm so honored that she's joining me today on my podcast. Lexi is 22 years old. She's a Northern California native who has visited all 196 countries. She managed to do this by the age of 21, winning the Guinness World Record by a landslide. Today, Lexi is going to share her journey with us and provide some insight on how she managed to pull off the adventure of a lifetime. So without further ado, let's get into the episode and meet Lexi. Lexi, welcome to the Abroad Pod.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Do you want to introduce yourself to my listeners?
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Lexi, and I recently broke the Guinness World Record for the youngest person to travel to every country. So it was 196 countries by the time I turned 21 years old. I am from California. I grew up with a family who had a travel agency, which is how I started traveling at such a young age. But yeah, that's the basics. So there's a lot to talk about here.
I love how your bio, Lexi, is like the most impressive thing anyone could say about traveling. So I love how that's your little fun fact. But yeah, so basically, as you guys know from the intro that I recorded, Lexi has been to every single country in the world, and she's only 22. So Lexi, would you like to share, how did you possibly make this happen? You must have started traveling internationally at a very young age to fit all 196 countries into only 22 years.
Yeah, so as I said before, my family has a travel agency, and I would travel a lot with my mom for work growing up. So she would always take me with her on her adventures, and I would go on independent study from school for a month or two out of the year, and we would go to a lot of really unique places like Kenya and Egypt and a bunch of amazing places around the world. But I really wanted to take a gap year. When I turned 12, I thought of the idea of taking a gap year and religiously saved up for it until I turned 18. And I actually graduated from high school 2 years early and got my degree, my associate's degree from a community college by the time I turned 18. And that's when I was planning on embarking on this epic gap year. And I started by backpacking in Europe, as most do.
Yes,
exactly. And about 3 months into my gap year, I was in Morocco. I was trying to sleep one night and just wasn't happening. And I decided to try to count how many countries I had been to because I had never done that before. And I realized that I had been to around 70, and wow. I was 18.
Wow.
And that realization made me wonder and question, how many countries are there in the world? Because at that point, I didn't even know how many there were. So I looked it up, and I also looked up what the who the youngest person to travel to every country is. And a Guinness World Records page popped up, and the current record holder was 24 and a half. It was a British guy, and it had never been held by a woman. And that night, when I was reading that, I knew immediately that I would regret it for the rest of my life if I didn't try to break this record and try to travel to every country. At that point, I didn't know that there was a whole community of people that travel to every country. It's actually, there's more people that have been to outer space than have traveled to every country. It's only about 200 or so people have done it, and there's and maybe less than 10 or 15 of them have been women. So it was a pretty daunting task, but in the beginning I was just kind of going down the list of countries I hadn't been to, and I was like, oh, I'll go to Central America and go to all the countries I haven't been to there. Still just backpacking, figuring it out like one day at a time. Made my way down to South America and then again over to like Eastern Europe to kind of check off all of these, random some of these countries I had never even heard of before. And so I was learning a lot, and over time I was just, getting closer and closer to the goal. But it really started getting complicated when I needed to go to places that required pretty difficult visas to get. That's when it started getting like not as fun and more serious, trying to get the visas to Venezuela and Pakistan and Afghanistan and all these crazy bureaucratic hoops that you have to hop through to travel to some of these countries. It's actually kind of ridiculous. And especially in like Central and Western Africa, was that was by far the most complicated part of the journey. But yeah, it was just took a lot of research and planning, and I had saved up a good amount from my teenage years, and that actually lasted me a year, more than a year and a half, just off of my savings towards this. And it took, once I thought of the idea, it took around 3 years to complete. So
Wow.
it was a whirlwind.
Wow. So basically, from that moment that you were in Morocco and realized that this record existed 18 until 21, you were just nonstop, like chasing it down.
Yeah, exactly. I rarely took more than 2 weeks off. I'd come home, I think, every two and a half, 3 months, just to catch my breath, get a break, and then I would also be changing regions. So I had to completely change what I was packing and try to relax for a second before heading back out again.
Wow, I really admire your ambition because I'm sure a lot of people do know of the record and maybe want to visit 100 countries or whatnot. But when it gets too difficult, like some of those ones that you mentioned in Central Africa that just aren't equipped for tourists, a lot of people would, pack it up and go home. And the fact that you actually finished is, yeah, just monumental. And I'm sure something you're very proud of and you'll never forget. So.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there was some times I wanted to pack it up and go home. I actually got malaria in West Africa,
Oh,
which
jeez.
was an awful experience, especially because I didn't speak the language. So it would have been a great time to remember more of my French when that I took in high school. But yeah, not speaking the language, getting sick, getting spider bites. I've gotten all kinds of crazy illnesses over the past few years.
Oh yeah, I can imagine. I haven't been to nearly as many places as you, but I've even had some moments where all I wanted to do is go home. So I can definitely imagine. So you shared kind of a little bit about the beginning and your high school experience and what made you even want to go after this record in the first place. But I just want to talk about like the logistics a little bit. So when you were 18 and you were like, I'm going to do this, how did you even know where to begin? Like you were in Morocco, so were you like, okay, I need to go to this, this, and this right around here? Or how do you even possibly plan out a route?
Yeah, well, it wasn't very simple.
I can
And it
imagine, yeah.
really took like a just looking at a map and really locating all of the places that I hadn't been. And as you know, the most expensive part of travel is the long haul flights.
Oh,
So I
yes.
would avoid those as much as possible because I did have a good amount of points and miles through my family's travel agency. So I was lucky enough to kind of avoid that really high expense by using points and miles. And then I would, once I got to a certain region, like Central America, for example, I would try to avoid flying when I can by taking buses and renting cars and that kind of thing. So avoiding flying was important, but it was also very exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Bus rides are crazy long and can be super exhausting, especially when you're going to kind of sketchy hostels on both sides of long bus rides.
Yes.
But so just really, really picking out region by region, navigating, what there is to see there. I definitely wanted to make the most out of each country and each trip that I was on, even though I was on a really tight budget. I wanted to experience the culture or some of the landscape as much as I could. So it really just took piecing it together one country at a time.
And just due to convenience, did you mostly travel alone, Lexi? Because I can imagine it would be hard to find travel buddies for some of the countries you had to visit. Not a lot of people probably want to go to them out of pleasure. So, yeah, did you travel mostly alone and just plan your own route based on what would work best for you?
Yeah, I think the word convenience is actually a really great way to describe solo travel because it's so much more convenient to plan your own thing, especially when you want to go to these kind of off the beaten path places and you don't have a lot of people who want to join you on that adventure. But I was actually very fortunate that a lot of my friends, especially my best friend Bryn, was always down for the experience. So she ended up traveling to, I think, maybe 20 or 30 countries with me. And
Nice.
I've had boyfriends over the years come with me with varying degrees of success on that front.
I get it.
My family comes with me a lot, and I also really started leaning into using social media as a way to connect with locals, also connect with the more and more I started creating content and making that more of a job that I had while traveling, I would connect with other content creators along the way, and that was really helpful because I mean, the chances of growing up with people who have the same interests as you, especially when it comes to travel, are really slim when you come from such a small town. But once you start utilizing social media, you realize that there are so many people just like you that have the same interests as you that are just, spread across the whole world. So really trying to tap into that network of awesome travelers. And but then again, I ended up solo for, I haven't counted exactly how many countries solo, but I would say 50 or 60 countries probably alone.
That's awesome. I personally really like traveling alone because you can just do what you need to do there and not worry about accommodating other people's schedules and whatnot. But I wanted to bring up social media quickly, actually, because I'm really glad that you mentioned it. It is such a powerful tool. That's actually how we connected in the first place. And I guess I'm just curious, did you start your kind of social presence, if you will, as a hobby just to kind of track it? Or as you went to more and more places, you really did start treating it like a job, knowing that you could potentially monetize that in the future or just really inspire people from all around the world.
Yeah, so it was kind of a, for me, I have a little bit of a unique social media story, I think, because it was really slowly and then all at once, as far as becoming like my career path and like having a large audience. I started sharing my experiences traveling to every country because I had a lot of friends and family who were interested in seeing what I was doing, and I was picking up a camera and starting to write more. I started a blog just so that people could have idea of what I was doing when I talked about traveling to every country. So I started posting on Instagram and sharing all of this, and I was slowly gaining a little bit of a following, but I didn't even hit 10,000 followers until I had 10 countries left. So
Oh, I did not know that.
yeah, no, it did not happen at all for me really while I was doing the travel, because it felt like nobody was interested in something that was in the process of happening. People only cared once I had completed it. And like, I couldn't even get any kind of press or interviews to even talk about the fact that I was doing it, even when I had, 50, 40, 30 countries left. So I, the day that I finished my record, I thought in North Korea, I cold emailed a writer from Forbes, Forbes Women, and she, to my complete surprise, emailed me back the same night, said that she had showed my Instagram to her, 6-year-old daughter who was really inspired by the story, and she just wrote up an amazing article and posted it in Forbes the next day. And nothing could have prepared me from the whirlwind that created. I think I gained over 250,000 followers in 5 days. It went crazy viral online. It was translated into every language, picked up by the Associated Press. I was getting interviews from people were emailing me from CNN, BBC, Fox, like all these crazy major news outlets. It just my phone was about to burst into flames. And while it was happening, I was actually in Raja Ampat, Indonesia, which is like one of the most remote islands in the world. And I just was feeling like so, it was so bizarre because I was getting all of this crazy press and everything was happening on my phone. And I didn't have any idea how to handle that kind of attention. And, when I put down my phone, I was in this crazy remote island where none of that actually matters at all. So it was a really interesting experience, but it didn't. Social media, I was able, as I was traveling, to try to get things a bit like for free, comps, rooms, that kind of thing, because I was a photographer and I would take photos and whatnot for and post about it for these random hotels and tour companies and stuff like that, which helped offset my costs. But I wasn't really getting paid to travel at that point.
I did not know that.
Yes, it's a pretty interesting, situation that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you finally got the recognition you deserved, like after the fact. But I feel like I remember following along with you while you were on your journey. And that's interesting that more people wouldn't be interested in following along and kind of living through you. But afterwards, it seems like people really like appreciated your content, especially now with your YouTube channel and everything. So that's awesome. But I was curious about that because I kind of figured you did have a following as you were traveling and you were able to get like sponsors and people could get behind you, like trying to attain this record. Because obviously Guinness World Record is like a very legitimate, valid, cause. So people could really get behind you and want to support you. But you're saying that that really wasn't the case. So how did you fund a lot of your travels, Lexi?
Yeah, so social media just kind of started working its way in, especially at the end of my adventures. But so I have always worked a bunch of different jobs. Primarily, my most important and helpful job was working at my family's travel agency. So I've been working there since I was 15, learning all of the ins and outs of travel, how to sell travel, how to travel for the cheapest amount possible, all of the different airline hacks and points and miles, credit card systems possible. And that's really what helped me out so much during my travels, and also having a really solid base of savings before I even started really set the pace. But one thing that I would do is so I would travel for 2.5 months. And then since I was either working for myself when I was in California or for my family, who were very sympathetic of wanting to travel, to break this record and travel to every country. So they were really flexible with the hours that I could work. I would travel for 2 months and then come home and work for a while, try to work as much as I possibly could to make enough money to go on this next trip. So it was just a lot of like patchwork, trying to figure out how to finance all of it. And then as I slowly started getting more and more photography projects and getting things sponsored, I remember I got my visa sponsored for going to Yemen. So that was really helpful. Like little things along the way happened that made it so that I could afford to travel.
That's great. I totally relate to what you're saying, just on a much smaller scale. What you said with like the going out and exploring for like 2-3 months and coming home and working, you just described my college experience. Like basically the 4 years I would go out and study abroad or intern away and do all these trips. And then I'd have to come back home and work a job that honestly I didn't really enjoy, but it was all worth it knowing that I could make the money. And now I'm just starting to get my foot into social media, and I'm actually going to a hotel tonight to stay in exchange for some content. So excited.
Ah, that's amazing. That's how it starts.
Yes, you got to start somewhere. So you mentioned at the beginning of this episode that you did unfortunately get malaria, and there were several times that you wanted to quit. So my question for you is, did you ever experience like burnout from this where you truly wanted to stop and just throw it all away?
Yeah, I definitely did experience it a few times. Most significantly during that West Africa, Central Africa trip, and also in the South Pacific Islands. That was a really difficult area of the world to navigate. And in both of those cases, being a solo traveler and just being alone constantly, because there's not a ton, it's not somewhere like Bali where you can walk outside of your hotel room and just be around a bunch of travelers. There's not a ton of other people who are not traveling just for business. It's usually why people are traveling in those areas of the world. So it was really isolating and super lonely. So every night I would go back to this, you know, empty hotel room and just be by myself for weeks. And that was really difficult. That was probably one of the hardest parts, was just combating that loneliness, because it crossed over past the benefit of solo travel, which is to be comfortable being by yourself, learning how to navigate, you know, complicated situations and keep your calm while traveling, and, you know, as opening yourself up to new opportunities that you might have not been able to receive if you were with a big group of friends. So my experiences in those particular areas of the world was that I went past that benefit of solo travel into the negative side of solo travel, which is not having anyone to share the moment with, not having anyone to talk to about anything, especially when there's like a big language barrier between you and the locals, so you can't really even communicate with local people.
Right.
Starts to get to the point where, since there's not a lot of travelers, hotel rooms are extremely expensive. There's no hostels, and you don't have anyone to like split the bill with. So solo travel can get really expensive when you're not, you know, splitting meals, being hotel rooms, rental cars, etc. So it was just really straining to be spending that much money and to be that alone, and to, you know, be in these all of these really stressful situations on planes and airports and like on the streets, especially as a solo woman. So that was probably the hardest parts after both traveling in the South Pacific and in West Africa. I came home and just cried. I was like, why am I doing this? This is so hard. But looking back on it, I can definitely see all of the lessons that it taught me. And those ended up being the most, you know, life-changing experiences out of all of them, because it was when I was genuinely the most uncomfortable. But when you're living it, it's really not fun.
Yeah, that I don't know how you did all that, especially at such a young age. But I'm so glad you didn't quit, because look at you now.
Yeah, it's quitting.
Better.
Quitting was just not an option because I had spent all of my money on it. I had nothing else that I was even nearly as passionate about. And at that point, the expectation, especially because I had been talking about it so much online and to my friends and my family, and people were constantly like, "Oh, you know, how's that whole record thing going?" I knew that I couldn't ever, you know, give up on something that I had really put my mind to. So giving up deeply was never an option. I was fully invested, and I did not have a plan B for what was going to happen if this didn't work out.
Well, that's good you finished then. And I'm assuming some of those trips you just described were some of your last, what, 50 countries? Because they're some of the hardest to get to.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so at that
After you
point.
pass around 100, 120 countries, you start getting into a very serious part of travel that involves way more time and effort and coordination than the first 100 countries do, because the first 100 countries are just so incredible and everything goes well, and there's, you know, all these beautiful places and experiences to have. And once you get farther along on that journey, it gets more and more complicated as it goes.
Oh, yeah. I actually have the goal of visiting 100 countries in my lifetime, but I think I'll be very good once I hit that.
That's so, how far along are you?
I'm at like 40 now. So
That's amazing.
I think it's attainable. I hope to hit 50 like sooner rather than later. And then I have the rest of my life for the back 50. So, and all 50
Definitely.
states. I'm trying to do that. Is that one of your goals, Lexi? I know you've only been to like what, nine?
Yes, I know I have been to like 9 or 10. Yes, I definitely want to go to all 50 states at some point, because I'm sure there's a lot of hidden gems in there that I don't know about. And I think it's also really important to get to know your home country at some point in your life. And the US is one of the most crazy, huge, diverse countries in the world. So definitely want to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I so agree with you. I feel like we really have it all. I am like a New England girl through and through, so I love it up here, but I love exploring like the different landscapes and everything. Have you been to New England, Lexi?
A bit, but not very much. There's so much to see there.
Yes, well, you'll have to make your way to Boston at some point. I can show you around.
Yeah, definitely.
So, going off of what you just shared about some of these challenging countries and how it kind of got harder as time went on, in your opinion, what is the most challenging country in the world to visit and why?
I would say that it might have a little bit of a tie between Yemen and Mali. Those were the some of the toughest places for me personally, and maybe Yemen would be more e even more so complicated to travel in because of the political instabilities. There's a lot of, you know, societal hardships. It's an extremely difficult place to get a visa to. This is specifically mainland Yemen. Going to Socotra, which is a beautiful island off the coast, has a little bit different of a situation for how you can go there, but mainland Yemen is probably the most difficult.
I was totally expecting you to say North Korea. That's interesting.
Well, North Korea is very easy to travel to if you're not an American in after 2017, because Trump in 2017 made it illegal for Americans to travel to North Korea, but if it wasn't for that, the situation there is just that you're not allowed to go anywhere without a government-provided tour company. So you're not ever on your own. They're never going to get you into any kind of dangerous situation as long as you follow the rules. That you're never going to be really in any dangerous situations. You're watched like a hawk to make sure that you don't go anywhere that's not allowed. And it's just a different kind of travel experience, but there's not that element of true danger that comes with traveling in a war zone.
Got it. So, Lexi, you often say in your YouTube videos that you've only just scratched the surface, which I think is so funny because to me, you've scratched every possible surface there is. But I know that countries are so huge. And like we were just talking about the United States, like so diverse, and it's really hard to generalize one place in one short trip. So, which countries do you hope to go back to and why?
There are so many countries I want to travel back to. It almost feels like when I was traveling to every country, especially because I was so broke, it was almost like a sampler platter of every country. So I got just a glimpse into how much, because even if you spend a few weeks in a different country, you can spend a whole lifetime there without truly getting to know a place.
So true.
So I got a good glimpse into all of the different countries around the world, and there's so many I want to travel back to. I think especially Central Asia surprised me the most, and it's one of the places I want to travel back to the most right now because it's just such a it's such a hidden gem because people haven't really traveled there as much commercially yet, so you don't see tons of photos of it. It's almost like going somewhere and having zero idea or expectation what you're going to find, and finding something that's like a buried treasure because there's so much history and culture and amazing foods and all these different things that make a place unique that you've just never heard of, like staying in yurts with eagle hunters in Kyrgyzstan and going through the Silk Road towns in Uzbekistan. There's just so many amazing places out there that I really want to spend more time exploring.
Yeah, I'd love to go there myself. It does seem like it's still untouched from the tourism industry as of now. And let's face it, it's not always going to stay that way. So the sooner you can get there, the
Definitely.
better. So, Lexi, to wrap up, I have one more question for you, and it's very exciting. What's next? Because you've already accomplished probably the biggest goal you could ever set. So, I'd love if you could just share with my listeners, some other goals that you have and what you hope to accomplish next.
Yeah, well, I am really excited because I'm currently writing a book about my experiences in every country and everything that I learned along the way. And that book is set to come out this summer, which it's been a lifetime in the making. It's an autobiography, so really diving into all of the crazy untold stories of everything that happened to me along the way. All of the things I saw and really took away from this very unique life experience. And I'm really excited to share that with everyone. So stay tuned. And if you're listening, you can also get a free preview of my upcoming book when you go to lexilimitless.com/newsletter. You sign up for my newsletter and I will email you a free preview of three crazy stories from Yemen, Nigeria, and Laos.
Ooh, nice. I'll definitely put that link in the show notes below, so you guys will have to check that out. But I personally can't wait to read. I've been following along on YouTube and you share so much insight there, but I think the book will just, really paint the whole picture. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be a lot, a lot of information. So, yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Lexi. Thank you again so, so, so much to Lexi for joining me today. I hope you guys loved hearing all about Lexi's journey to every country in the world. I know that I definitely did. Hopefully you're feeling a little more inspired than you were before tuning in. As mentioned previously, be sure to check out Lexi's Instagram and YouTube channel and definitely sign up for her newsletter. I am so excited to read her book once she publishes it and know you guys would love it too. I'll put all of her links in the show notes below, so definitely take a second and go check out Lexi if you haven't already. And as always, if you enjoyed today's episode and if you like the Abroad series, please just take 3 seconds to leave a rating for me. It would mean so much and make the time and effort that I put into the Abroad pod each week that much more worth it. Also, if there's anyone else you guys would like me to bring on here as a guest, please reach out. I love meeting new people and sharing their inspiring travel stories with you. So, with all that being said, I'll see you guys next week with another episode. Bye!